Hey, hey, Tamara here, your host and innovation enabler. I gotta tell you, it is snowing in Denver today, and it is so beautiful. I just want to go outside and make a snowman and snow angels. But I'm also kind of enjoying the fact that both of my kids are now physically back in school, and I am home alone in my little home office with no distractions. I'm not going to lie. It's a little weird. I kind of miss them. I kind of miss the noise. I might have to put on some Netflix in the background just to imitate the noise that used to happen. Are you going through some of those shifts too? It's so weird, right? All right. I got a great podcast for you today because we're going to tackle a subject that I have been getting a lot of questions about lately. And it's this: how do I get people to listen to my ideas? But hold up. That's not the end of it. Because I've been getting these questions from two sides of the spectrum. On one side, I've been getting this question of how do I get people to listen to my ideas when they see me as too young, too inexperienced, and too new on the job? And on the other side, I've been getting that same question: how do I get people to pay attention to me? How do I get people to see me as innovative when I'm overly experienced, when they see me as having been on the job too long and stuck in my ways? Like, if I'm on that other side of my career, how do I get people to still listen to my innovative ideas and not assume I don't have any? So two separate ends of the spectrum, but kind of the same challenge, right? How do I get people to listen to me? So I got some tips for you. Let me look at my notes here. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, and actually five tips on either side. Now, regardless, if you are nodding your head of like, yeah, I'm that emerging leader that people aren't paying attention to, or if you're on the other side of like, yeah, I'm that quote unquote legacy leader that's been here a while, or somewhere in the middle, I would really encourage you to listen to all of the stories and all of the tips because they really are all going to be relevant to you in some way, either in how you communicate or in how you recognize someone trying to communicate with you. Both are equally valuable because I guarantee you that either you're on one of those sides where you feel like you're that emerging leader, or you feel like you are on the other side of that career where you're getting maybe, or people see you as getting a little bit stale, even if you're not, or maybe you're somewhere in the middle. But either way, you got those people in your organization and in your team, and you need them to be successful just as much as they need you. So let's talk about this. How do I get people to listen to my ideas?
You've landed inside Launch Street, the business innovation podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate, differentiate, and get further faster. Since you're here, we know you're the type of person that recognizes the importance of unlocking your innovation advantage so you can compete and win. And now, your host, the person that has worked with leading companies like Disney, Procter & Gamble, Arrow Electronics, the U.S. Army Research Labs, and Red Robin on upping their innovation advantage, Tamara Gondor.
Okay, so first, I'm going to give you an overarching tip, insight, that applies to you regardless of which side of that spectrum you're on: overly experienced, inexperienced, somewhere in the middle. And then I'm going to break it down from both the inexperienced side and give you two tips there, two ways, things to think about, and then two ways on the overly experienced side, two things for you to think about. So let's start with an overarching thing about getting buy-in for your ideas. So oftentimes when we talk about buy-in, Oftentimes when we talk about buy-in, influence, what I hear from people is like, how do I convince others? Are you nodding your head to that? Yeah. How do I convince you, listener, to buy into my idea? How do I convince you, the listener, to sign up and spend money with me and join my online academy? How do I convince my boss that this initiative is a good one? How do I convince my team or my client to move forward? Here's the thing. This is the little known fact that I'm going to throw at you right now that I have learned the hard way many times about what convincing and getting buy-in for your ideas and getting people to listen to you is really about. Convincing is actually not about convincing others. It's about convincing yourself. People don't need to be convinced as if you're pushing the idea on them. They need to believe that you're convinced in your ideas, right? That you have the confidence and belief. And oftentimes, when we are trying to be heard and we have that insecurity pop up, the doubt in our voice, the disbelief in our own thinking, our own comments, that insecurity bubbles up. And guess what? Other people hear it. They hear it. So what do? I know I've done this, right? We dial up our quote unquote convincing and we become a swarmy salesperson. Like, here's my snake oil, because we dial it up. I'll give you an example. I had this idea for a new way to serve our clients when I was very junior at a consulting firm. And I thought if we flipped one thing in our client services, we could do a better job. And I really wanted to bring this to my leadership team. So I scheduled a meeting with them and I sat them down in the conference room. They were very open and receptive. So I got to give them a lot of credit right there. They're like, here's this Tamara person who's been with us like 3 months and she's going to decide that like we have all these different ways to run the business, but she hasn't even done the business yet. But they were open to the conversation and I'm going to give you a lot of give them a lot of credit. You know who you are. Not everybody starts in that place, right? Not everybody's that open. But I sit down and I start telling them what I think we can do. And I'm going on. And they've got questions. They're crinkling their noses. They are poking holes in my idea. And as they're doing that, my insecurity just flows. Like it's bubbling up inside of me and then just oozing out of every pore of my body. So the more insecure and the more doubt I have, the more I start to show it. But not only do I start to show it, then I start to act on it. So now I'm doing like the song and dance. Do you know what I'm talking about? So I've gone from telling them something that I think I sort of believe in could be possible, which already I'm starting with doubt, to doing this like, oh my gosh, song and dance of all the reasons why it's amazing. I probably ended on a ta-da, because that's what we do, right? So convincing others and getting other people to listen to us is just as much, actually, it is more about convincing ourselves than it is about convincing others. Because when we have the belief and we have the confidence, other people can feel it, they can taste it, they can hear it, they can see it, and they are more likely to listen to us. Now, I'm not saying don't be humble, don't have humility. I actually think it takes the most confident person to also be willing to be open to the fact that they don't have all the answers, that there's holes in their ideas. And I have this whole thing about language of innovation that we're not going to go into today, and about changing your language to change your outcomes to get people on board for the innovation journey. But what I want you to hear in this, if you're really paying attention to how do I get others to buy into my ideas, how do I get them to listen? I want you to start with how you're even presenting yourself. And I think actually on a deeper level, do you really have the confidence and the conviction in your own ideas before you're putting them forward? And again, that's not saying they're 100% right. That's not saying that they don't have holes. The confident person knows that that's all true. But it's about having the conviction in your beliefs and your ideas. And that is tip number one that is overarching for everybody. Convincing is not about convincing others. It's about convincing yourself and letting others see that. Now I want to tackle it from the inexperienced side, right? So I got the question of how do I get other people to listen to me when I'm young, I'm inexperienced, right? They don't take me seriously. I've got two tips for you from that side of the spectrum. The first one is, here's what I want you to think about, right? And this really starts with empathy. When you come in as that new person, whether that's because of age or new to the industry or, you know, whatever that is, you are presenting change to the other person, to the people on the other side of the table. You represent new ideas and new thinking that aren't theirs. And this happens on a subconscious level, by the way. People aren't on the other side of the table like, oh, look, it's Jill over there and all her change and new ideas. Ah, it's not quite like that. It's happening on a much more subconscious level. But what I want you to think about is, if that's how they're initially receiving you, right, in your quote unquote inexperience, you need to find a way to connect the dots between what you're saying and what they think and what they say. And here's what I mean by that. let's say you've got an idea for a new product and you want to present it to your leadership. Now, you know that they've brushed off a lot of what you've said before because you're quote unquote inexperienced. Well, I want you to connect the dots between your idea and what they've said, done, experienced in the past. And I'm going to give you an example around this on one of our members from the online academy. So they were in a healthcare system, which is riddled with bureaucracy and hierarchy. And she is the new person on the block in this kind of niche area that not many people understand anyway, right? So she's got kind of a double whammy against her. She's got this new idea of how they can treat patients, the ones that she deals with, is kind of in the physical therapy world. So in the past, when she goes into the rest of the team, when they do their monthly meetings, like people tend to brush her aside. She's new, she's inexperienced, and she's in this weird little niche they don't understand. So what I coached her to do in the academy was to go in there and say, hey, listen, Paula, what you said last month about XYZ got me thinking about how we could apply that over here. Do you see what she did there? She connected the dots with her of her new idea to something these other people who are more seasoned and more experienced, what they said, did, or thought. Now, I want to be clear, this is not about manipulation, but this is about active listening and doing the work to connect the dots. Connect the dots between your beautiful inexperience and new ideas, right? Your innovation that's coming in naturally because you're not jaded and handcuffed by the experience they have, but connect it to what they're thinking. As I said in the beginning of this tip, they see you probably as threatening, as change, right? You're the new hot dog coming in and they're over there all jaded and seasoned and, right? Like, who wants that? So connect the dots, make them feel valued in a meaningful way. I promise you, if you connect the dots with simple statements like, hey, what you said about this or what you did 4 years ago with your patients, your customers, made me think that over here, we have a new way we could do things. I guarantee you there would be more open. If I said to you, listener, I said, hey, you know what, Grant? What you emailed me the other day about not being heard by your bosses made me think about a way that I could do this over here in my world. So I'm trying this. Aren't you more open to whatever it is, my initiative, whatever it is I'm trying, right? You dial up people paying attention when you connect the dots. Here's the other thing I want to layer into this. People don't fear change. They fear being changed. And nobody wants your brilliance pushed onto them. Something as simple as connecting the dots makes people see how your new ideas, that younger, inexperienced, new to the industry person, it makes them see how it's valuable and it connects it to their experience and their thinking. It really is that simple. So that, if you're on the inexperienced side of the spectrum, that's tip number one, is connect the dots. Here's tip number two for you. And I talk a lot about this overall in cultures and in teams and with people, is here's what I want you to do, inexperienced person. And by the way, inexperience is a wonderful thing. I really meant it when I said it was beautiful. So I'm saying that to just point out where you are in your career, not to make inexperience a bad thing. Inexperience can be one of the best things for innovation. It can infuse freshness and new thinking into teams and ideas and people. So know that I say that with a lot of love. That inexperienced mind is a beautiful one to tap into. And by the way, if you're on the other side of that and you got a bunch of inexperienced people, how lucky are you? Take advantage of their newness to get to new ideas. All right, tip number two, if you're on the inexperienced side, is here's what I want you to do. I want you to skip the presenting of your ideas, and I want you to do experiments and show people the proof of your ideas. Come with proof, not hypotheticals. Here's the thing. You're inexperienced, so you don't know what you don't know. And that's okay. As I said, that's great for innovation. That's great for business in general. Well, for life in general, is that naive mind. But the people that you're trying to have listen to you, that's all they see is, well, she doesn't have enough experience to really know what she's talking about. And when you're talking in hypotheticals, whether that's with a beautiful PowerPoint presentation of what could be or an idea that you think might be possible, right? You're just reinforcing the inexperience that's not working for you. So what I want you to do is I want you to take this idea of yours, whatever that is, and I want you to just experiment with some duct tape and scented markers, right? Do a mock-up and show it to some people, get feedback. Find one client to ask the question of, hey, would this program work for you? And bring that. When you show a initiative, right, that you're like, I believe so strongly in this idea, going back to what we said in the beginning about convincing yourself, that I went and I tried it out on a few people and a few clients, or I tested out with a few colleagues, and here's the feedback I got, and here's why it could be a good idea moving forward, man, you will get a whole different response. Just in doing small experiments, you're showing initiative and you're proving the worth of your idea. It is born out of inexperience, but the proof is in the pudding. It's where the rubber meets the road, and what other cliche I can come up with in that moment. Experiment and then show it to them. And by the way, an experiment can be as small as, hey, I ran this idea by my colleagues and here's the feedback they got. Like I did this mock-up, right, one page marketing thing, and I showed it to my colleagues. Or, hey, I ran this by four people, this new way of doing our front desk, and here's what they said, right? I tried this language with a new client, and this is what how it worked. Experiments can be small but valuable. So if you're on the inexperienced side, connect the dots and skip presentations and start showing proof of your ideas. You're thinking the value in experimentation. Okay, let's head over to the other side of what I'm going to nicely call the overly experienced. And by the way, again, I'm going to say this, and I really mean it. I think there's so much value in experience and in the wisdom that comes with it. And we don't give enough innovation credit to those who are on the other side of experience. And if you're on that side, which by the way, I mean, technically, I guess I am too. I am 48, right? I want you to know that it's our job to stay open and to stay innovative. The reason people stop seeing us that way is because in general, right, we tend to get jaded and like been there, done that, that didn't work, blah, blah, right? So back it up. Now on my blog, on my website, I have I think it's a 10-minute video, maybe an article. I think it's an article that's how to get legacy thinkers on board with change. And you'll see in that article what I talk about around showing empathy and having understanding and being able to tap into their wisdom, your wisdom. So when I say overly experienced, if you're on that side, same like with the other side, I say it with a lot of love and admiration because that experience is hard earned wisdom. And there's so much value in that. So let me give you two tips. Here's tip number one, and this is much more of a mindset and then how you approach your job tip. Because I see this mistake time and time again, as we get on and on in our careers, the mistake we make is we think we have to have all the answers, be the one driving the change. We have to be the ones coming with the solutions. It's actually not true. The first tip I have for you on the overly experienced side is, guess what? Not only do you not need to have all the answers, but I want you to think about changing your role from the person with the solutions, from being the only innovator, to being the person that finds the solutions and enables others. When you get to the overly experienced side, if you want people to pay attention to you and to listen to your ideas and take you seriously as an innovator still, the greatest thing you can do for yourself and those around you is actually become that hub that creates a ripple effect. I feel like I'm mixing metaphors here, but you know what I'm saying. Like, be that center that ripples innovation out. More people will listen to your ideas, listen to your thinking, take your voice seriously and really request it if they see you as that enabler of innovation. The biggest mistake we make is we think we've got to know it all as we go up the ladder, but it's actually not true. And the greatest innovators and leaders that I've seen, the most successful people in life, they start to realize that there's a lot of power in their wisdom, but also there's a lot of strength in their ability to pull that out of other people because they're coming from a place of wisdom. I had a mentor once. He's actually still my mentor. He's a wonderful human being. And he is, you know, he's been chief marketing officer of Coors, of Procter & Gamble, like Kellogg's, I think, like you name it, right? He's incredible. And as you can imagine, he's much older than me. And one of the things that I value most about our time together is he asked me questions born out of wisdom. that make me think deeper and further than I ever would. And I know his questions aren't naive questions of like, help me understand, I don't get it. His questions come from wisdom. And that's my second tip for you on the overly experienced side is ask them questions born out of wisdom. Help them see the holes. Help them take the idea further. Help them see why that idea didn't work in the past, but maybe could work now, or maybe what you would need to adjust to make it work now. So tip number one is change your role from being the only solution and innovator to being the enabler of innovation and solutions. Tip number two is be that person that asks challenging questions born out of wisdom. Poke holes, help them fill the holes. Be the one that marries the wisdom of experience with the freshness of inexperience. And the way you can do that is questions born out of wisdom. There is nothing more powerful than a good leading question that gets me or anyone to see my thinking differently, to see my idea differently. All right. I'm almost out of breath because I'm talking so passionately, as you can tell. Let me just recap, summarize all these tips on how to get people to take you seriously as an innovator, to listen to your ideas. Number one is remember, overarching, convincing isn't about convincing others. It's actually about convincing yourself and letting other people see that. When you're coming from the inexperienced side, it's about connecting the dots and it's about skipping presentation and experimenting, showing proof of experimentation. If you're on the overly experienced side, it's number one about changing your role from being the only innovator and solution person to being the enabler, to be that rising tide that lifts all boats. It's a total shift in mindset and a shift in how you see your role in your organization. You are so valuable if you can do that. The second part is ask challenging questions born out of wisdom. All right, we covered a lot here. Hey, if you think this podcast is going to be valuable to some other people, do me a favor and send it to them. There's a lot of people that could use some help getting their ideas across. We all know them, right? We all have people who are like, oh, their ideas are so good. Why can't they ever get any traction? Well, oftentimes it's of how we're trying to convince others into our ideas. So send this along if you think this is going to be helpful. I'd so appreciate and love the share. And hey, hit me a review on iTunes. You know, the more reviews we get, the more we get noticed, which means the more content I get to bring to you and the more great guests. We have a bunch of great ones coming up. I'm super excited about all of them. All right. With that, so good to connect with you. Tamara out.
Thanks for hanging with us on Inside Launch Street. If you know someone that is truly ready to unlock their innovation advantage, have them join you on Launch Street. Discover your innovation advantage. Build a team of high-performing innovators and ignite ideas and solutions that create massive impact. GOTO, launchstreet.com. Remember, innovators, if you don't take the leap, somebody else will.